Welcome back, Real Estate Rockstars. Today's show is for you if you want to know the exact words to say to hook the interest of anyone lurking but not engaging with your social media posts. And once you have them hooked, you'll learn how to convert them into an actual client. Lots of marketing psychology in this one, guys. And after that, we dig into the tech stack that you need to grow your business online. It's simple, it's cheap, and it's effective. It takes so much of the manual effort out of online prospecting, and we go through each app one by one. Stick around to the end to hear what our guest is struggling with and the surprising things she's doing to overcome it. Speaking of today's guest, she is none other than Marie Lee, or Move Me to Tennessee if you know her on the gram. She's a top Nashville real estate agent, and in 2023, she closed $14 million with 70% of her business coming directly from Instagram. She specifically targets out-of-state buyers relocating to Nashville. Marie also serves as a content coach for Coffee and Contracts and is the creator of the program called Reels and Deals. You guys might have noticed that we have a lot of Instagram-heavy guests lately. We've somehow gotten looped into the BAM ecosystem, so guest recommendations are leading to more and more Instagram specialists. But I want to know, do you guys like that? Do you like all this Instagram, social media, online marketing information, or are you sick of it? What topics or speakers would you love for us to have on here? Please let me know. DM me on Instagram at The Shelby Show. Another note, in case you missed it, the 2024 Real Estate Rockstars Mastermind was a freaking smash hit. It was 3 days in Austin, 90 agents from across the country. We had speakers like Cody Sanchez, Will Grimes, Matt King, Aaron Amuchastegui, of course, and many more. It was sick. And we just announced the dates for 2025. That will be happening in March again, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Austin, Texas. And guys, we will sell out again this year because we're capping it at 100 agents. So if you know you want a slot, you got to lock it in. The registration link is in the show notes, or again, you can hit me up on the gram. I'll share with you the Shelby Show. And now, rock stars, please welcome Marie Lee. Marie Lee, what is working for you on Instagram now?
Great question. I feel like Instagram is all about content, right? But also, Instagram's all about having conversations and getting social with people. So some things that are working for me are using stories that are kind of teasing something, maybe like new listings that are coming up or new like guides or resources that I'm getting ready to unveil for potential new clients, and then asking for people to reply back with a keyword. I know a lot of people have gone like into the mini chat world and are trying to like pursue opportunities for automation in their business. But I don't have many chats set up. I'm exposing myself here. What I do have is I have notes on my phone where I have like a little template of what I want to say with each message. And then as people are messaging me this word, I'm going in and sending it out. So it's just giving me some hand raises of people who are interested in content, people who I might need to have further conversations with, or it's getting more people to engage with content. So conversations.
So ManyChat, you're totally right. That is a very popular, you know, word on the streets these days. So what is there a reason why you have not gone that route?
Yeah, it's just a little overwhelming for me. So to be completely honest, it makes sense. But I feel like it's a two-way street. One, it helps you reclaim some time. And if somebody is messaging you a keyword, having that automation in place keeps people from falling through the cracks, right? So I think that it's a great resource in that regard. But two, I feel like it's great to have like one-on-one reach outs, even though I'm using these templates. When people respond back to me to whatever question I'm asking them, and then I have a not automatic generated response to follow up, I feel like those conversations go so well. And in fact, people are like, hey, so I thought this was ManyChat. I thought this was a bot. And I'm like, no, it's me in real life. So, I think it makes sense, but when I log in, I get a little overwhelmed. And I think that's just because I have a lot of messages that are coming in. When I went to go and set it up, it was like, automatically go ahead and upgrade to the next version. I'm like, I want to try it out first before I commit to buying something. But anyway, that's my problem, not yours. Take it with it when you
want.
It's
going to be funny. We're going to have like ManyChat reach out to us on the podcast and be like, can we have an episode to like combat what Marie Lee said? We are not overwhelmed.
I know. It's going to be funny. Yeah. They're going to ask to like set it up for me. I'm going to be like, please. I cannot do that myself right now. So,
dude, I feel you. And we'll talk a little bit about, because I think that is a problem. Like, as soon as people are putting out content and are doing it in a way that generates responses, it can get very overwhelming, like the way that the Instagram inbox is set up, at least for me too. It's like, I don't think there's a good system, but we'll get to that in a second. I want to loop back to what you were talking about with what's working now is stories. You're teasing something. You are requesting a response. You're requesting them to reply back in order for them to raise their hand. And something that we were talking about before we hit record was you have your words, like very specific messaging. And I was wondering if, you know, because you mentioned templates, but can you talk about specifically the messages that are really performing for you specific to, because I know you have content creation business and stuff in like targeting some agents, but like I'm talking about like on the actual buyer seller client side, what is working with the messaging?
Yeah. So great question, because I feel like this is where I really start to see content creation begin to take a divide. Most agents that I see using social media are really not talking to a potential client. They're not talking to buyers or sellers. Maybe they have a couple of reels that they're posting or a couple of posts that are targeted to them. But when you listen to them speak, it's really like agent to agent conversations or them showing off their knowledge. It is not like an introductory conversation or a baseline conversation that you would have with a potential client. So when I'm talking about messaging, if you go to my profile and you look at the posts that I have, I'm hardly ever talking about myself. Like the messaging that I'm using, the hooks that I'm using, the copy inside my captions, it's all centered around the person who is watching it. And for me, that ideal client is somebody who is looking to relocate to Nashville and purchase a home. So it's like a very, very specific avatar that we're focusing on. So when I'm talking about messaging, I'm really trying to put myself in their shoes, think about what frequently asked questions are, or what some of their problems or pain points are. And I'm trying to craft messages centered around those things. Or I'm trying to highlight experiences of clients that I currently have that are going through the same transition or having some similar experiences so that they can have some sort of relatability. So not talking about yourself, not like agent to agent humor can be funny, but like the only people who get that are other real estate agents. And if you're wanting to attract clients, like, that's going to go over their head and it's not going to do the job.
Dude. Okay. Let's go super, like example tactical. So like using stories, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll do stories, but can we give an example of, you know, you mentioned new listings, new guides, whatever, but like, what are you actually posting and what are you actually asking them to reply so we can give legitimate examples for listeners?
Sure. So 2 weeks ago, I posted a listing that I thought was extremely affordable and like move-in ready and cute. And I posted a teaser photo and the comment was, Nashville's most affordable listing hits the market tomorrow. If you're looking to live in a tiny home, comment the word or reply back tiny and I'll send you the listing. So the people who respond back and send the word tiny, I am then sending them this template message from my notes. It's like, hey, I see that you're interested in this tiny home. here is a link to the listing. But then I'm following up with a framing question. Would you like for me to set a virtual tour, or would you like to schedule a private tour? So I'm trying to continue asking them questions to see if we can get any more information. So that would be an example of something that's super client focused, and really showing who is a secret shopper that you might not even have on your radar.
Okay. So the example where you're following up with framing, where you're would you like me to set a virtual tour or a private tour? I think that's so smart. I literally was doing scripts earlier today with some agents in Five Pillars Nation, with my community. And one of the newer agents was talking about, which actually, man, I was going to shout him out because I knew he's a listener, but I don't want to make him feel bad. Anyway, you know who you are. He said he was following up with his past personal training clients and would tiptoe into real estate and then end it with let me know if you ever need help, or let me know if you're interested in buying and selling. But that is not a way to, funnel, people towards your services, because people are not, they're going to be okay, thanks. And then they're going to forget about you, and mm-hmm. they're not going to remember to follow up. But if you frame them in a way where instead of you hey, here's this tiny house listing, let me know if you're interested. No, instead you're what would you like to set up a virtual or a private tour? You are pushing the conversation towards a more definite result and opening the door for further gathering of information and seeing how you can help them and provide value.
Yeah. I think you have to be extremely specific and very, very concise when you are wanting to funnel people through from just being a viewer into actually taking action with you. Hey, this is this listing. Do you want more information? Comment this below. Very specific. It is one home. I'm not sending them a list of homes. And then when I'm asking them, do you want this or do you want this? The moment you add a third option, or the moment you give them an open-ended question, it gets them confused or they feel overwhelmed. And it might not seem that way, but confused minds don't take action. So the best way to increase action being taken on your content, on your posts, or even just in business in general, is narrowing it down to two options. And it's very specific. I think I learned that while teaching middle school. People want choice. They don't want to be force-fed something. They want to be bought into it. But you got to give them limited choices to get them to actually choose something.
Dude, that is so true. That's another one. We do scripts on Thursdays, and it's Thursday, so obviously it's fresh in mind. But it's when you're pushing for the appointment, it's do weekdays or weekends work best for you? One choice, two choice, that's it. And then they say, and then it's morning or evenings, two choices. And then you lay it out. So you completely, you're literally funneling people into the result by letting them choose, just like you said, but giving them the parameters in which the choice is. Either way, you're winning.
Yeah. And, not everybody is going to respond to this question, right? So, if I'm asking who would you want a virtual tour or a private tour, I don't get a response on every single question that I'm getting. But the people who are giving me responses back to that, they're such a high quality lead. And now I'm able to kind of categorize them either in a CRM or even just mentally hey, I might need to be more intentional about keeping my eyes on this person, because they're sharing with me that, hey, this is piquing my interest. Maybe I might be in the market. So if I'm finding things that maybe match that or are comparable, they could be top of mind, and I could proactively reach out hey, this just popped up. It was super similar to this other thing that you liked. What are your thoughts? Just having authentic conversation, but productive in the same way.
Yeah. There's a lot of strategy and technique behind it. And that you mentioned something before. I really love it. You said Nashville's most affordable listing hits the market tomorrow. That's exciting. I want to see Nashville's most affordable listing. Oh my gosh. And it's not even on the market yet. So can you talk about any of your process behind creating things that really draw on attention? Because I think that you make or break people from that initial message.
Sure. And messaging is such a component that many, many people overlook, but it's really what drives people to be bought into whatever it is that you have to say or to taking action with you. So, to be completely honest, I don't have like a system set where I'm looking at properties one day a week and, oh, I'm finding something and I'm like gearing something up. Honestly, it's like in the moment I'm looking through the MLS and I see something that I feel like could generate a conversation. Housing affordability is a huge issue right now. So like in for this particular thing, I'm thinking, all right, what's something that maybe more people could afford? Or if I'm looking for something with a very unique feature like acreage or a certain square footage or something that makes it a little bit special, I want to make sure that I'm teasing with that. And to be completely honest, it could be the most normal cookie cutter home, but you just have to find a way to spin it, right? To get somebody to buy in and actually like be interested. So in a way you have to find a way to sell, you know, and that's your job. Like how can I sell a feature of this home? You can't be generic about it. You can't say, oh, this is a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home for $500,000. Like you need to lead with like, this home is zoned for top rated schools and has a 3-car garage. You know, you got to play out the features of a home.
Mm-hmm. And is that something that came naturally to you? Cause I'm wondering, is it something that you had to like train your brain? And if yes, how did you go about that training process?
Great question. I was in drop shipping prior to getting into real estate. So, sales and having these types of conversations was never something that I saw myself doing. And so I was previously I was a teacher and, I feel like I just want to give value, right? Well, you can give value and not get anywhere. So I was like, I need to learn how to not just give value, but then also like, once again, generate a response, raise a hand, get some buy-in. So it was while I was in the e-commerce world and trying to drop ship that I started studying about marketing. And, you know, came across things like Gary Vee, you know, with his jab, jab, hook technique where you are giving them something for free, and trying to hook them in with a point of value. Or really just studying like basic marketing techniques. They really talk about using a pain point, using a hook. And it took a lot of practice of like being given a very boring, mundane object and trying to think of a problem that it solves or a solution that it gives or a feeling that it promotes. You have to start thinking about things in a very different way because everybody else is thinking about this in the exact same way. Everyone's like, oh, this is a pen. But if I'm given two different choices, like now you have to look for differentiators. Like what's the difference between this heavy weighted, you know, very luxurious pen that gives me like a 5-star experience versus like this freebie that I picked up at the title company during closing? Like, you know, I'm looking for little things like that to try and set those apart from one another.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Gary Vee and how it wasn't just, you didn't just pop out this way. Because that's the thing, I think people see people like you who, listeners, if you don't know who Marie Lee is, you need to go over to Instagram and check out Move Me to Tennessee. And you can see that she has, it's beautiful branding, like everything is very well done. But what I think that some people maybe who weren't in the Instagram or even on the online marketing space is they see something and they're like, wow, she's doing really well. But maybe they don't understand the amount of work that it took for you to get where you are today in regard to like the analysis, testing, basically just learning what works and what doesn't. And I just wanted to emphasize that because it's so much harder.
Yeah. And when you're comparing yourself to somebody else's chapter, it's really easy to forget how long somebody's been doing this. So like I got into the e-commerce and dropshipping space in like 2019. And that was really when I was first exposed to marketing and trying to craft a message. So since that period of time, like I have spent, you know, 3-4 years really just trying to think about this and really decided to become a student of marketing. So like, in addition to the real estate podcasts that I listen to or the personal development podcasts I listen to, I'm often also consuming marketing podcasts where I'm listening to people talk about what's working for them. I'm trying to implement these things to see what's working out. And then just making small little tweaks, little by little, one step at a time.
What are your favorite marketing podcasts?
So I feel like I'm in a little bit
of a, whichever.
A little bit of a slumber. I actually have like an agent facing Instagram where I'm speaking directly to real estate agents. That handle is at Real with Marie Lee. And I just did a like 8 essential podcasts that you should start your journey with. So Lewis Howes, he usually interviews Rory Vaden, who is like the CEO of Brand Builders. Every single episode that they have, extreme value. Like you will find something there. I really like his podcast. I'm also a huge fan of, well, can I be honest? I was a huge fan of Jenna Kutcher, but now I feel like all she's doing is selling stuff all the time, or it's like affiliate promotions. And I'm like, her older stuff, super tangible, very, you know, noteworthy. And then, I mean, you know, Maya Nickel, she's also another Instagram coach. She gives very bite-sized, packed punch episodes that are usually like less than 20 minutes and very specific about business. So I think that podcast is called Radical Disruption. But those would be a top three.
Awesome. Love. Okay. I want to loop back to templates because I don't think we're done with the messaging. So you mentioned you have a bunch on your phone, and we got a little glimpse at that first one where it's like, hey, so you're interested in this tiny home, you know, that message. What are some of the other templates that you have on your phone and or what's working?
Yeah. So, to be honest, I think templates are something that I'm starting to dive into. So I don't have a whole lot that are geared towards potential clients just yet. I have teased templates with an ebook that I recently put out. So if people are interested in learning more about systems, I'll comment the word system. And then I'm giving them a follow-up with the link to the actual ebook. And the framing question to that is, would you be or it's not even a framing question, it's a very explicit question. Would you be interested in a live training on this? And then people will respond back to that. So there's that. And then I just recently had a template where I had a resource that I recently received, purchased, and started using for clients, like a relocation planner. Absolutely love it and feel like it would be so great for either other agents to use or potential relocation clients who are considering making a move. And that template was like, hey, I see that you're interested in this planner. You can get it here. And then I'm asking them questions like, would this be for you or would this be for somebody else that you know is making a move? So right now, I've only got 3, but those are the 3 that are working. And I'm ready to add to the arsenal. We'll keep you posted on what kind of updates we've got in the future.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. And that's the thing too. It's like, you don't always need more. Like having more are great, but less is more in so many ways. Just get really good at whatever you're doing. And I just believe that in so many ways, because some people will be like, well, I'm trying to build a YouTube, and talking about like leads, because we're kind of talking about lead generation. I want to build a YouTube channel, and I want to do open houses, and I want to do Facebook ads, and I want to, and it's like, you don't know. No, just get really good at whatever one thing is. And then once you're really good and you've built a machine, you've built systems and processes, you put people in place and leverage, then pick your head up and add on one more thing. But if you're looking around and trying to do all the things at once, you're going to be bad at everything.
Yeah. And to that point, like, I think you really do have to just focus on that one thing. There was a point where I was trying to focus on Facebook and LinkedIn and, you know, thinking about YouTube. And then once I started trying to put myself across platforms, I was thinking, man, my quality has really gone down. I think people are very confused about the ways to take action with me. And I just went all in on Instagram. And with that, like, it really allowed me to define my systems like we're talking about. But then it also showed me how important repetition is. So, like, I am saying the same things over and over, and I am giving the same resources over and over, but I'm plugging it multiple times. Once you start getting to a point where you're repeating yourself and you're framing it from the perspective of your client, I feel like you will begin seeing an increase in engagement and lead generation, because people know what to expect from you when you're constantly changing up, constantly trying out new resources. Like, people don't know why they should be bought in, but when you're consistent over and over again, people know what to expect from you, and that predictability creates that know-like trust factor and will get people to pull the trigger.
Yes. And this is something that, you know, you're a marketing nerd. So I went to a traffic and conversion summit back in January and it was amazing. I do recommend it. Do you know about it?
I had a former roommate that went to it when it was virtual. And so, like, I would sit in the room and listen to it. And I just felt like it was gold nugget.
My head just exploded. And yeah, listeners are probably sick of me being like, back when I went to Traffic and Conversion Summit, but whatever. So you were talking about how consistency in, you know, basically your messaging and also the products, the tool, all of that stuff helps the followers understand what to expect, which I 100% agree with. But also at Traffic and Conversion Summit, they were talking about it also allows Instagram, the algorithm, to begin to trust what you're putting out. And when they understand your messaging and when they understand the type of people who will like your content, that's when they start pushing your content to more and more people. But if you are constantly changing your message and different types of people are following you, the algorithm can't understand what your content is, and then they don't push you as much.
Right. I think we see that on different platforms, right? Like, we see people on TikTok who go viral doing one thing. And like, if they know that's what's working for them, they capitalize on it and they're doing different variations of that. I think that is something that we see on Instagram too, you know? So it just goes to show you how much people really like repetition, but also how much the algorithm likes it too. So love that point. Just took a good note, a reminder, if you will.
Okay. Marie Lee, you have 7 tools that you're using to attract and convert followers on Instagram. I love tools. I love systems. Super nerd. Listeners, she has this documented for you in the toolbox. So go to realestaterockstarsnetwork.com and then go to the toolbox and you can find it there. But let's talk about it. So Marie Lee, what are these tools that you're using? Tell us about them.
Yeah. So Shelby, let's do everyone a favor and go ahead and just name off the 7 tools that we're using, and then we'll dive in one by one.
Okay. The 7 tools.
I have faith.
Number one is Links, but it's with 2 I's, guys. LIINKS. The next is Calendly, ConvertKit, MailChimp, Canva, Coffee and Contracts, and Captions. Those are the 7.
Yeah. Love it. So really, and I started breaking down like why we're using each thing. This is the tech stack you need to grow your business. And I feel like people think they have to put a lot of time, effort, and money into content creation to be profitable, especially in terms of lead generation. But this is all you need. So Links, it is so important for you to have a link in bio. I personally use Links because I really like the interface. I have a disclaimer. I signed up for it before they started offering free, I started using it while they had free offerings and before they implemented like a paid program. So, if you can spare $4 a month and you want like a really beautiful link in bio, go for it. If you don't have those funds, then use something like a Linktree. Big key component here is that you have ways for people to connect with you. So having your socials up on the top, and having very specific strategically placed buttons for people to take action with you. So link in bio, Links, love it. Second would be Calendly. you only need the free version of Calendly. You need to have a scheduler so that way people can schedule appointments with you. So the way that this works on my page is somebody goes to my link in bio and they're really, really motivated. Like they want to have a conversation. They need to be able to act on that. So that Calendly button on my link in bio says, work with me 15-minute call. They go there and they have an opportunity to schedule a 15-minute call on business days, like Monday through Friday from 9 to 4:30 p.m. And they can only book out like 10 days in advance. So they're not booking out so far. Like I know about it. And in that, I'm asking them just some simple questions like, what do I need to know about our conversation? What are you trying to achieve? Where are you located? And then that helps guide the conversations. So think last year in 2020, we had over 80 appointments that were set for us, like inbound appointments. So the fun fact is a lot of these people weren't even commenting or engaging with my content prior to signing up for a scheduled call. So I think it just goes to show you like how important it is to have something for somebody who's ready to do something right away. ConvertKit is what I'm using to host my landing pages. So let's say somebody wants to work with me, but they're not ready to pull the trigger just yet. I want to be able to give them value, but I also want to keep them like in my ecosystem. So I have two landing pages set up. One is a freebie landing page. So I'm like offering a free home buyer guide. If somebody is interested in the home buying process, they can sign up here and get an immediate download. If they don't want that, but they just want to stay on top of what's going on in Nashville, the second landing page on ConvertKit is a email sign up. Very super simple. I'm telling them, what can you expect in our email? I'm sending this once a month, no spam. So those two landing pages I'm hosting on ConvertKit, and I don't know. I didn't have a lot of money when I was starting this up. So you could probably still use ConvertKit for your emails. I don't know if you have the ability to segment audiences based off of, you know, what somebody is downloading. But I used MailChimp. MailChimp has a free feature. I think like up to 1,000 subscribers. So once somebody would download my guide or sign up for the newsletter, I was importing them into MailChimp, and MailChimp was where I was building out my email newsletter and sending out, I don't know why we keep getting that little bubble, but, and I'm then sending out just like, I know.
Guys, if you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out. Marie Lee has like thumbs up popping all over her screen. So go over to YouTube. And while you're there, like it, obviously subscribe. Okay, sorry. Marie, go on.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. And yeah, so MailChimp is just where I'm tracking my email campaigns and sending out once a month. So some tools that I use to get this going. Canva. Canva has a free option. I'm using Canva to tailor my guides, to put my information in there, or even just make a couple of different tweaks. You don't need to be a graphic designer, but you probably do need to have some customizations to the guides and things that you're giving. If you are not creative, don't have the time to put together freebies, I love using Coffee and Contracts. It is a subscription-based service, but they have the best printables, guides, you name it. So like all of my listing presentations, all of the resources that I'm giving to clients, I'm pulling from the Coffee and Contracts website. They do all of their work in Canva, and I'm just going in Canva and tailoring it to me. So subscription-based service, it does come at a fee, code Marie for $15 off if you want to give it a try. But save yourself the time, the hassle, and if you're not creative, like I don't really have a design bone in my body, I'm letting somebody else do that work. And then captions, like if I'm doing some talking head videos, captions is the tool that I use to add words onto my talking head videos. Instagram has its own captions feature. I feel like it's good in theory, but when you start reading the transcript, it's I don't know. They get it right maybe like 80% of the time. And it's that 20% that really makes a big difference. I'm like, I need to really be confident about the words that I'm putting out there. So I think captions gives a really easy to read format. It looks great. And this is like the format that people are using when you're watching like Alex Hormozi style videos or Ryan Pineda, like these really big influencers, and they have words that are popping up on the screen and they're lighting up different colors while they're talking. They're using this captions app. So think captions is only available for Apple users. I don't think it's available on Android just yet. I do think it's $10 a month, but I think it's worth it. I'm using it, you know, a few times a month. So I feel like that's probably like the least required, but the others very much like go dive into them ASAP.
And I have a couple notes on, so you mentioned coffee and contracts, and we had Haley. Listeners, if you're like, what is that? I want to know more. Go to show 1214. We had the owner, Haley Ingram, on here, and she gave a ton of information about Instagram for 2024. So, and she's just super cool. She's just bullshit. So go check that one out. And then something that you mentioned that I thought was so important. You were talking about how with Calendly, which I am obsessed with Calendly, I love it so much, how that you guys had 80 inbound appointments and most of them were not even commenting or engaging. And I think that is so important. I was listening to Modern Wisdom the other day, one of my favorite podcasts, and they were talking about how of the 100% of people out there who like listen or who engage in any sort of content, it's like 90% of them are entirely silent. And by the way, I'm like quoting there. I did not fact check them, but it checks to me. They said that 1% are the creators. There's 2% out there who are probably going to like shit talk and like be a little bit negative. 7% are positive. But creators, generally, if you're putting stuff out there, you're always going to overlook, you know, the 7% who are saying amazing things about you and fixate on the 2% who might be talking trash. And then there's 90% out there who are just watching. They're just watching.
Yeah.
So
lurkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find myself in that space sometimes. And then I have to remind myself, like, if I want people to engage with me, I need to engage with other people. So if you are not having, you know, people raising their hands, commenting on your videos, one, I would encourage you to think, how are you, what's your messaging? Are you talking to other people? Or are you talking about yourself? Two, are you engaging with other people or creating a space where people can engage with you? You know, using polls and stickers on your stories, asking questions in the caption, like encouraging people to take action with you. So that way you can get them from just being a lurker and like being in a little community that you're creating.
So Marie Lee, you just went through, you know, the snippets of all of your tools. And of course we have your product uploaded so people can go there. But guys, another thing that you could do is go to Marie Lee's page. And like, I love doing this. Like, oh, I'm like, oh, they have it all figured out. Let me click every single button. Let me look at how they are branding. Like if you go to her page, it's beautiful. It's like beautifully branded. How is she doing that? Like click her link, follow every single step. You know what I mean? And that's a great way to, and I'm sure she follow her, of course, support, but then rip off and duplicate, you know?
Yeah. I feel like, I think personally, a lot of the people that I get the inspiration from that have really had an impact on my business are people outside of the real estate world. So like, I think we get so consumed in our own little industries that that's all we follow and all we consume. But here, hey, do your thing. Would love to have you, you know, come lurk, come R&D. You're welcome to do that. But also like do that with other industries too, you know, think about your favorite influencers or the people you love following and see what it is that they're doing. Like I draw a lot of inspiration from travel accounts or fitness accounts or like business coach accounts. And I'm like, man, I really like how they're presenting this information. How can I apply this to my page or to my audience or to my ideal client? I think you just have to have that reframe of, oh, that's not my industry how can I adapt this to my industry? So be a learner always.
Okay, Marie Lee, what else is working now? Or what did we not cover that you think might be important for listeners? Or did we just hit it all?
I could talk about this for hours, but I think for the most part, we're good. I think just a parting piece of wisdom. When you find something that works, you got to keep going. We're talking about repetition, right? You don't need to recreate the wheel all the time. So I think on my pinned posts on my page, the very second video that I have is, hey, do you want to see a list of move-in ready houses in Nashville for under $450,000? Comment 450 for the list below. And then like I'm scrolling through the MLS showing the homes. Super simple. You could probably knock this out in 5 minutes. Oh, this is a template. I do have this. And so if somebody comments 450, I'm following up with them in a message. Hey, it looks like you're interested in this list of homes under 450. Here's the link. Would you like for me to send this list to you every single week? If they say yes, I grab their email and put them into my CRM. The whole reason why I'm saying this is this strategy worked well for me, and I'm going to be repeating it with so many different variations. So under 450, under 650, under 300 in a specific area, you know, new construction homes. Like when you find something that works, don't be afraid to repeat it again. You could repurpose it completely, or you could just find a little spin, you know, and see what it is that you could tweak. I think that the repetition and then the predictability, like that creates buy-in with people for sure. So repeat yourself over and over and over again.
It'll feel weird, but do it.
It'll feel weird, but it also makes things so easy. We're talking about like how my page has like a very specific aesthetic. One, okay, I do think it looks nice, but it's two, like, just helps. It helps with decision fatigue. I know what font I'm going to use. I know what colors I'm going to use. So like, that's one less thing that I'm having to think about when I'm creating content. It's like, all right, I've got this and this. Now I just need to think about this. Mm. Same thing with content creation. Mm. Just figure it out. Yes. That's aggressive. Figure it out. That's you can do this.
Drop mic.
Let me be encouraging. Yeah.
Dude, you just hit on decision fatigue though, which is like, I was just talking about this the other day. Like, it is so real. Oh my gosh. And I think about like, by the end of the day, my brain, I just can't take one more decision. And then when I wake up in the morning, I'm like fresh and my cup, you know, is like full and I can make these decisions, but I can feel it drain now. All of the little decisions, yeah. I just feel like that ability to drain from my brain. And so I'm similar to you in that way. I'm like, how can I set this up so I don't have to make the decision? Even little decisions, like what are you going to eat? Mm-hmm. What are you going to wear? Like it's just cutting out. It just, yeah, I don't know, words.
Yeah, no. And you'll find it, especially as you go throughout the day. So if you want to be good on content creation, carve out some time in the morning. For me, it's like after I just had my coffee and my wheels are turning and I'm like fully capable of making decisions. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to take some time to do this. So yeah, anyway.
I was going to ask you, but now I want to ask you what a day in the life looks like because you do your morning and the coffee. But what I was going to ask actually is like, What are you like working on now? Like you have what, you know, from the outside looking in looks beautiful and amazing and it's perfect, but what are you like actually struggling with or looking to tackle next in your business?
Yeah. So it's actually a somewhat slow season for me. And in this slow season, I'm thinking to myself, how can I refine my systems to get better results? You know, is it me or is it just like the time of the year? You know, I have these questions all the time. But it makes me think like maybe people aren't finding the resources that I'm providing valuable. So personally, I want to make sure that my freebies are aligned to my ideal client. So I'm working on a freebie right now, like Nashville's most popular suburbs, because people who are relocating want to know where to live. I feel like that would be a very good resource for them. And I'm getting ready to launch that, but I think it's going to be fun. Don't know how I'm going to do this yet, but instead of just a landing page where people are putting in their name and info, I want to try and experiment with like a quiz. So you take the quiz to find out which suburb best suits you. So I feel like that's just going to give me so much more great data to have to reach out to people. Haven't built it out yet. Don't really know how I'm going to do it, but I've been thinking about this for like a year and I'm like, I've got time to do it. So I'm going to try it out.
Hit me. I'll test run it for you if you'd like. I freaking love a quiz. I feel like people do. They're like, oh, I want to do a survey. I want to do a quiz.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun.
I mean, BuzzFeed back in the day, like everybody was trying to figure out what vegetable are they most like.
100%. You know,
people love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, now we're going to head into a fire round wrap up where I ask questions and we nail it. So, we already asked about your favorite podcast. What are your favorite books? Whatever comes to mind.
Favorite books. 4-Hour Work Week really shaped the way that I was thinking about business and like how I wanted to live life. So that gets me in the frame of automation or just creating something, a very simple system. 2, You're a Badass. I feel like we just need to be reminded that we are capable of changing our future. That's like a book that I'm reading once a year, either physically or I like to put it on the audiobook, and I need to listen to those over and over again. And I feel like there's another one. You know, I'm just gonna stick with those two for right now.
Those two are great.
I'm not gonna try and ruin a good thing.
They're great.
Yeah.
Okay. What events are you going to in the next 12 months?
Great. So next week I'm going to a Tom Ferry event, the Sales Edge event with Jason Pantana, just a little marketing nerd moment. So I'm super excited. He's been a guy that I have followed for a really long time on YouTube, especially with real estate marketing. And then in April, I'm going to Girls with Grit. It's a fun little women's real estate group that's on Facebook. They're hosting an event here in Nashville. I'm spoiled. They're both here in Nashville. So I'm getting to go to those. But I'm open. So I feel like I need to add some more things to the list. Maybe traffic and conversion will be one of those for quarter one of 2025.
Yeah, dude, for sure. Or just Tom Ferry Summit. I know it's more generic, but like everyone's going. You'll see, you know, everyone will be there. So we'll hang out in person.
Yeah. I went last year and I went to the BAM Bash. Mm-hmm. So the Broke Agent hosted it and I got to meet so many of the people that I've watched online for so long. And it was kind of wild meeting them in real life. So yeah, Tom Ferry Summit, big fan. Go fangirl, go, you know, meet everybody, go learn a lot too, but
totally.
We love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. How can listeners help you in your business / where can they find you?
If you know people that are looking to make the move to Nashville, would love to connect with them. So a great referral for a Nashville relocation partner goes a long way. You can find me on Instagram at @movemetotennessee. Tennessee spelled out completely. I'm pretty active in my DMs. So if you have any questions or want to workshop through some things, drop me a DM and we'll get some conversations going.
Hell yeah. Love it. And while you're on there, hit up me and the owner of the show. We are The Shelby Show and Erin Amuchastegui on the gram. We love hearing from you guys too. Also go over to YouTube. Marie is charming and she does tons of thumbs up.
Lots of emojis. Yeah,
exactly.
I did an Instagram live the other day and a big coin got on my head.
My
I didn't know
God.
How it got there. And it was like covering my face. I couldn't get it off for like 2 whole minutes. It was
cute.
Embarrassing.
I love it. Like the Instagram girl. Here she is.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. What a time.
Okay, guys. Marie, thank you so much for coming on the show. Loved hanging out with you today. And
thanks, Shelby.
Yeah, real estate rock stars. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.